welcome to Prosody, 90.5 FM's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Lauren Wolf, guest host of Prosody, and my guest today is the poet Elizabeth Tussey. Elizabeth Tussey was born and raised in Salem, Ohio, and is a graduate of Kent State University. She has been a student, a college instructor, a factory employee, a gym membership saleswoman, and an actress in a carnival scare house. Elizabeth is currently employed as an instructional designer at a Cleveland-based firm. Today, she's reading from her manuscript, The Ugliest Girl in Columbiana County. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Lauren. Thanks for having me. And I'm going to start off with my first poem is Tornado Watch for Columbiana County, effective 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tar slackens. It knows the score. Lays dumb and drags tongue under tires. Concrete swallowed before, filled with ice. Now it tenses against the push of sky. Sheets stick slick like cellophane, crackle with ozone. A bed abandoned for the chill of a basement floor, while the stratosphere fault lines. They forgot to crack the pane. Sparrows are sure to sweep in, free to drape the lamps with twine, to craft hats of tin foil. The light grows nauseous. Across Ellsworth Avenue, twigs fall like the Eight of Wands. They snare conversations from Ann Overton and pin them to lawns and telephone poles. Such murmurs fall into the bent ears of grass. Driving wheel left to rust, darts on a dress. And this next poem is the first one that introduces kind of the title character of my manuscript, The Ugliest Girl in Columbiana County. And this one is called The Ugliest Girl in Columbiana County and Her Antonyms. The loveliest of the county, countless seeds on a parachute ball, with wind or other forms of flattery, they waft away, untouched by soot and safe in stratospheres. When they give it up, they mean it, owning moans and curled toes. Such girls find comfort on the altar, on that seat of adoration, holy, holy, down to the depths of viscera and marrow. They don't bleed through jeans during eighth period or crack window panes with thoughts. The ugliest girl in Columbiana County skulks along the chain links and false dawn of the industrial park. She speaks the dusty language of sparrows, of things tiny and common. She shifts in her strange skin and finds allegiance with the starlings and cedar wax wings, despised gluttons fat on cherry blood. Pretty girls as far as Center Township claim ignorance of these birds, even when they suicide against sliding glass doors. And in my manuscript, there are many recurring characters, mainly birds. And my favorite kind of bird is the barred owl, not the barn owl. There's a bit of a difference. The barred owl is an owl with kind of frightening concentric circles around its eyes, and they're very frightening. You actually can see them in the daylight sometimes. So this one is Questions for a Barred Owl Concerning the Consumption of Bones. Are my bones white like the bones of moles? Do they scuttle down the gullet the same? Do they let off a dust when you cough? Can you taste memory? Do thoughts rattle against your down belly? How heavy are bones? Are they the same going in as coming out? Where does the worry go when flesh and feelings are consumed? Hungry owl, can you sink my fear if you swallow my bones? Whose bones are best? Where are my bones? How many bones are stacked in you? How should I count bones? Do you break bones? How many bones in me are broke? And on the same theme of bones, this one's called In the Bone Mill. When I worked in a factory, I made bathtubs, and one of the colors is called bone, and it always freaked me out kind of to think of coloring a bathtub over bones. This is In the Bone Mill. Frit frets through flesh while the thermoform press sweats future anxieties, quakes with quivering faults. Faults strain beneath the itch of a rail yard cicatrix, an itch a century long, scrapes sterile of benchmarks. The known moan, collected sighs of swing shifted bones, the creak before the come home, the foreman's simper stained mark of Cain. When the seismic seas takes hold, the home shakes down the naked skin into unknown. In the bone mill, even the filaments know certain scores. Deeping in the scorch, shutter dark of negotiation week, it's a hard thing, missing their makers, their switchers, fearing atrophy, the searing stroke of a scab.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Lauren Wolf, and my guest today is the poet Elizabeth Tussey, reading from her manuscript, Ugliest Girl in Columbiana County. So, Liz, those are some interesting poems. You said there's a title character of your book.
Mm-hmm.
So are all the poems then work through her point of view?
For the most part, some are directly through her point of view. And when I was writing this manuscript, it deals heavily with place and specifically my hometown. And I thought it was important if your readers are going to be exploring this place, you kind of want them to have a guide. And so I picked the ugliest girl in Columbiana County. So pretty much the most wretched creature in the entire place to take you through and
see
everything.
So she's our tour guide.
Yes, essentially.
And I've noticed that a lot of the imagery heavily drives the poems. And it's sort of like through imagery you tell narrative. So how does that work when you're composing? Do you get images first or stories first that you want to write about?
Generally, it's images first. And images, kind of descriptions, this might not be the right word to use, but atmosphere. So, you know, a train yard at night has a certain feeling to it for me. And I like to start with that feeling. Like, is it haunting? Is there anxiety behind it? Things of that nature. So I'll start with the feeling. The images will follow the feeling. And then the story kind of builds from there.
Oh, that's interesting. Can you read some more poems?
Absolutely. This is another Ugliest Girl in Columbiana County poem. And Columbiana County is indeed a real, you know, real place. This one came out of, I spent a summer renovating my friend's shop for free. It was about a 150-year-old building. And just finding really strange things up there. And again, you asked me about the images. This is where the image came from first, was finding an old hairpin under linseed linoleum in the 150-year-old building. And this is what came out of that. The ugliest girl in Columbiana County rests in the attic of Ethel's millinery shop. She followed the topography this far. It's the paws that buckles tiles. Her eye freckle betrays shades at the aperture's edge. It's the only way she can find such strange gifts. Charcoal gum, iron shaving. The birds rest decimated, a peasant wrapped around a heron in the Pork Pie Valley. Their language is lost to her now. In the absence of tuk-tuk and caw, she constructs a genealogy of the horses, feels their hair shuddering in the plaster. They were a blue bunch and a good match for the tin ceiling, cracked. In periphery, they might manifest and bead bloody linseed with their galloping. Had she time and world, she would slip with them through shutters, through maintenance boundaries with her pilfered feathers. And this next one is a series of poems I wrote within this manuscript about chemicals, chemical waste, the issue of fracking. And this one's called Following a Caveat About Digging Too Deep. The frames won't clack, the silt won't shift, seals won't crack, barrels won't roll, necks won't snap, tongues won't swell. Our cranks are stacked, our ropes are slack, your cribs creak back, your pains aren't at the center of our drill. Never mind the throbbing thud, the silvered mud, the failing bud, our sinking chrome. Never mind the snaking hose peeking from the loam. Just step past our frick-a-frack, our clack-a-lack, the scattered black, the loathsome smack when we bust apart the bones. We won't seize your size, your seismic fears, you're nearly dead. We'll sink below the bones, we'll slink beyond the bones. We won't disturb your own, your sleeping own, down below, down above, our slithering, dithering drill. And this is It's Got Me a Mess, an erasure poem. John Caldwell, a veteran, served, auditory hallucination after one explosion. I thought I was losing my mind, the far-off artillery. A few nights I felt them. Caldwell lives, Route 558, lives through the vine, through reports of explosions in the township. In a million years, he heard them. I thought it was just me. All explosions at night with all but one in the township, that came to pinpoints. Theories, range, seismic changes, nothing fits the thread. Caldwell has lived. Can't begin to tell you a lot of the nights, walked my house with my trying, where it's coming from. One person who learned the setup is involved and dangerous after dark, during daylight. A group of people was called to watch the least exploding on Butcher Road. The seismic changes in shale drilling, underground soundings for the drilling. The company specializes seismic acquisitions and maps the oil and gas. The procedure requires geophones along the roadside. A representative explained the right of way used up during daylight hours like exploding. Caldwell said the explosions were something completely new. Other vets heard it too, but they live on the other side. I don't know about the others. I can't live like this. This has got to stop. Caldwell looked for, but hasn't seen. Sometimes it sounds, other times on the battlefield, away, it's got me a mess. This is Southern Shallow Groundwater. Swallows swoop at crick level, what pulls them low? Magnet hearts, heavy with minerals, answer sunken metals. I cannot hear anymore the spooling and unspooling below. I lost their language, their names. They will not tell me, I will not know. Crick craw, the downy crows bellow, and who cooks for you all, the barred owls moan. Bark and moss suckle their shrills, swallow the answers, low beneath the loam. Only bones speak back on the lab slab, those poor minerals spilled from owls, among the dust of danger and sparrow down. Their hollows hold an excess of echoes from below. The progress throb beats sick in dissected birdie bones. Nausea of a noxious first coming, what seeps skyward from soil, and mars other bones, and fills fat full with filamented foil. And the bird bones become my bones as I sip from the stealing pool.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Lauren Wolf, and my guest today is the poet Elizabeth Tussey, reading from The Ugliest Girl in Columbiana County. So, Liz, I'm interested in how objective your narrative voice is. There's sort of a distance, even though we're up close, immersed in the imagery of things. There's the absence of personal pronouns, right? There's no I in these poems or me. So, is that a deliberate conscious choice?
I actually wasn't really aware of that for a long time. As I was working on this, I became aware of it. And, you know, people always ask, you know, why do you write or what do you choose to accomplish in what you write? And the best thing I've ever heard for that is Nico Case, the singer, said that she wants to reveal what haunts her. So that's kind of the approach I took, subconsciously and consciously, you know, depending on, you know, what point I was working on it. And I think to reveal what haunts you, the act of revealing, you can't really be in the way. You know, if you're in the way, if your voice is coming in too much and it's too much centered from the eye, I think that you have a hard time really showing what's happening. And especially that's why I used that character, the ugliest girl in Columbiana County, as kind of the tour guide. You know, so there was kind of a presence of an eye there, but it was mm-hmm. distant. It wasn't yeah. getting in the way.
Yeah, it wasn't told from that eye point of view.
Yeah.
Like the eye. So, and also then in the same aspect, do you craft for sound? Your poems are very sound driven, so you must at some point sit down and think about that.
Yeah, my process usually will be, I'll get a line, and that line, I think the poems I've been reading, I've noticed have a lot of S sounds in them. So I might get, let's see here.
Like S and W sounds.
Yeah, lots of S and W. The last one had a lot of Fs. So I think the last one I read, the Southern Shallow Groundwater, the first line I came up with was fat filamented foil. And I kind of build from there. Mm-hmm. And so I'll get kind of like a set, like a word cloud of words that are relevant to what I'm writing about, because I don't want to force it. I don't want to lose content over sound, really. So I'll get kind of like a word cloud, and then the lines will kind of come out of that.
Mm-hmm. And you're trying to capture this haunting sound?
I would like to, yes.
That's interesting. Can you read some more poems?
Absolutely. This one is How the Ugliest Girl in Columbiana County Got Ugly. First it happened for 4 months. It hurt her in the, she couldn't find a, and no one knew that she. Time timed on her cheekbones, her face mausoleumed, the dead turned in the, like the inversion of her kneecaps. The thing that happened hung in periphery, it victimized her with polio, and from a point in Summit County, compass shadowed her. She would try to, but there was no. Clavicles cracked that summer and she was bird hollow, retinas detached, she could see her own neck. What happened for 4 months happened for 5 years, and no one will, and she still can't. This is decommissioning activity number one. Clear the foundation, this slab drifts like the salt grains we've left. The silt sinks through distinct exits, north and south, to Willow Grove and places unknown. This reflection of retainage drums up the stacked dead, limestone pallets, and the historically unused meadow. All send out runner vines and bless the aquifers below. Above safety showerheads hang calcified stalactites, snaggle-toothed, aching for the skin, aching for the stripped. We've done our best to redact their memories of flesh. And I'll actually read a new poem. I wrote this last night. Death dust. Dear, it's here again, my suffocate kit, my sooty snuff, shuffling ash. Can you clear the swill, fill my skull again? Death dust settled in my voids, loosens the little lust, slips sod from the sepulchre. The hollow safe before the before, admired in the brutal bleak of afters. And this one came out of one of my professors would give these really great prompts, and she said to overhear something, you know, pay attention when you're walking around. I happened to be coming out of the recreation center, and I heard two girls talking about the two most unhappiest people on Earth. So this is titled, The Two Most Unhappiest People on Earth. The war was on. Outside, the porch pulled loose, exposed their cogs in shame. He, a smoking nurse, commandeered her rig, surfed the sludge in her stomach. She owned the slosh, acquiesced, yes, to her brunette blues, yes, to the coverage embedded in her sacrum. They welcomed the leaves, denied detritus. He licked from the necks of broken branches. She sipped up all the maple syrup, became the bane of Ohio Edison calls. Questions of mass destruction rattle down drywall. The war makes avenues into boulevards. There is no safe place. And this one's about as personal as I get, I guess, in my manuscript. I do make reference to things that have happened. You know, I don't draw too much attention. This one I actually used my grandmother's name. And it's relevant because we're in Pittsburgh, so I'll read this one. Helen Tussey's offering to the River Ohio. Oh, Helen, Coriopolis is losing land, limping back to silt soot, swelling with barge scars. Your boys rise from new shores, mucked with river and grief, bearing strange gifts, pen cap, flip-flop. They come chattering of the long drag through hallways of Swickley Valley Hospital, of box springs at River Bottom. You give jars of buttons, mine from the duplex, detritus of your loneliness. They layer over dormant mayflies. When they cross break walls again, he will be dust. Come August, and his wraith recedes with the waters and leaves only the haunt of feature across your boys, a salt stain of heavy brows, a tendency towards leaving too soon.
Thanks, Liz. So as I'm listening to these poems, I'm noticing that there's a lot of juxtaposition between the body imagery of the body or of bones, which is after body, I suppose.
I like
and
that.
That's what it is, right? How do you see those two playing together?
When I came up with this manuscript, well, I shouldn't say came up with the manuscript. This poem's kind of happened, and then a manuscript kind of came out of it. But I started questioning. I was writing about a place that I consider to be salted earth, chemically, destroyed, socioeconomically, not a healthy place to live. And the question came up, well, if you come from a place that is bad, what does that do to you as a person? And, you know, that kind of manifests in the ugliest girl in Columbiana County. The different poems I've written, she's, you know, a terrifying, wretched creature. And her body, the alienation she feels from her body, I see as a direct connection to living on salted earth. So the two kind of play back and forth. Your environment is your body is your environment. So that's how the tension kind of exists between the two.
That's interesting. So your body can manifest itself as an environment?
Yeah, that's what I believe.
And then you are both. They're simultaneous.
Yes.
They exist together, which I guess is a fair concept. So what else should we know about the speaker of this collection, the character? How else does she navigate the world? Why should she be our guide?
I see her as a good guide. I see her almost as a Cassandra in the sense of, like, she's able to take in the full horror of what's happening to the land around her. And there's despair, but there's also happiness, too. I mean, it's not utter misery, you know, living in this place. And so I did end the manuscript on a happy note. So that's one thing I think is important about the character is that it's not all misery, it's not all despair. There is hope. you know, even on a solid earth, there's still beauty. So that's like, I think, the most important thing, beauty and ugliness.
Do you have some more poems you could read?
Absolutely. Let's see here. This one is called Myrex, and Myrex is the main contaminant. Where I grew up, there's a chemical factory, and the thing with Myrex is it never goes away. You can't ever get rid of it. It's a compound that doesn't degrade, and essentially, if they wanted to get rid of it, they'd have to set the whole river valley on fire to, you know. So that's just a little bit of background on the title, Myrex. Myrex, he mired his salt load solvented in her swisher sweets, in her sweated sheets, in her pores, in her. Her core spun loose, lost axis, lost depth, with him and her, him, the wobble king, silt stirrer, slit sealer, bareback rider, he wants to explode her core to compounds. This is Huntington County, fall 1780. In the morning he broke ground in preparation to sow the girls between the corn hills where the plow could not be brought to bear. Wild pigeons in the woods looked and saw smoke issuing from his children and informed them of time. The volume of smoke, satisfied, started for home. In time, according to promise, she too saw the smoke. And I'll actually read the happy poem. I was reading a lot of Mary Ruffel when I was writing this, and definitely took from her the importance of words and language, so that's kind of what inspired this one. The ugliest girl in Columbiana County leaves the sick bay, throws off blankets and skins, slinks and sinks out of the stink, vacates her psycho's mother den, her home's for rent apart. On her way out, she won't rattle the tunnel-trapped spider from his perch. The tar loosens on the street. It slid all summer without her, and now she sinks toes brick deep. The statues pause at the Penn Ohio line, dust apart in her passing. Her sack filled with surface shadows, dear, she can't let go. The bile is low, and her knees cracked back, and time times no more. She decimates her dusty dwelling, her feathers loosened silt. Her happy tethers pull her down to the Ohio River. The trout await her kisses. They will fill her with new words. This one is a beatitude for those who doubt resurrection. Those who ask the black courier birds for news of the dead, eat mirrors, choke on echoes. Those who char the carbon of photo prints, aching for new, will only steal the microfish. Those who grasp the hands of strangers as they exit Cinema South, searching for his hand, will be emptied. Those who repeat the collapse, who liken him to swooning towers, will suffer history, will swill ash. Those who seek the dead among the living will not be comforted, will still in the nauseous wake. And another recurring theme in my manuscript is tarot cards. I'm very interested in tarot cards. Actually read them for kind of extra money on the side. And this one's Cups for the Ugliest Girl in Columbiana County. Impossible. Her vulturine path breaks from spiral, cracks inertia track. How could? Her feathers are wings stiff. She hangs from the bough of 10 cups above a shadow family. Her barren spots confused. She swallows old inertia, careens beak first into the hard hope of divination. How to sip from cups when she slept among the swords for so long. In the wielder, somewhere still with rusted hilt in neon rooms cutting up other girls. This is For We Are Many. She prays to the peach savior, tongues pits, her mediatrix. He is foot washed and dewy with promises and needs filled. She, the issuer of benzo sighs, owner of night terrors and mares. He quells their thundering hooves, winterizes her caulking, but she's still suspended from that litany. Who knows what savagery's? One more, one less the difference between October and a March, the same Route 8 ride to Gehenna, hemoglobin sick from Corolla exhaust. Her demons know the same fuzz burst, a-wanting her vanilla trauma. When, sunk beneath a woolly safety, the peach savior plumps her pulp and asks, "What is thy name?" comes the echo, "We are legion." No sea, no precipice. Ohio's clay comfort dubs the teeth, barks her pigs to periphery. This is Setting His Features, heavily inspired by Margaret Atwood's You're Happy. Setting His Features. The story is convex, swollen with sawdust. It directs its proceeds to this point. In this point, there is no return. How could there be? The end slid over the curve a long time ago. Forget beginnings. There is a body still. The body is tired from telling. The body is in repose, lips slack and hands only recognized. In this story, an implosion of starlings, box turtle in the bush box, cemented sump pump, all sunk, all set. The story is all laid out. This is When He Brings the Doldrums. Do you wash the freckles from foot to chest, backwards prance, ankle-caught drain ditch, an Oxford flood won't free you, from those blighted snares, the splinters prick you, he wilts into you, drags the moon from under thigh. Undertake this new solution, heavy swallows till your belly fills with soot, his toxic metals melt absurd, his wrong form, his beryllium smile submerge, trachea sound. Penny singer, panty fever, bind him with no call. The ugliest girl in Columbiana County considers the physics of former corpulence. In outer space, the fat globules separate. A slinking mercury memory arcs through dark matter. She tracks the trajectory of her jiggling elliptical orbit. Sometimes her bits collect, parade, balloon tethered to her. Every other year, they descend through the stratosphere to remind her matter cannot be created or destroyed. This is Questions for a Barred Owl. Sorry, bird, stranded in daylight. What ruffle has you now? Are owlets safe? Did branch break? Does something prickle your downy skin? Black-eyed bird, wakened wrong. Can you feel the state shake? Where are your thousand now, but bone and fur, rattled loose to lawn? Erudite bird, how will I die? By water or road? By my hand? By knowing now? The ugliest girl in Columbiana County in the sticky fumbling. Myopic eyes and reptilian hunger, behind the utility shack, behind Southeast Elementary, covered in chicken grease, after running over the white ermine on Cunningham Road and lying to her parents about Popeye's chicken, he wearing her jeans because of an accident. There's the pipe with the carnal graffiti. She wraps her ugly bits with upholstery. When his fingers test the bones in her neck, ghosts of a thousand volleyball games thunder in the gym behind them, and the Buick is misty with the rose smell that corpses exhale.
The poetry of Elizabeth Tussie. Thank you so much for being here, Liz.
Thank you very much, Lauren.
Those are great poems.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Prosody, a weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Ellen Wadey. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in at our new time, Saturday mornings at 6:30 for Prosody, 90.5 FM.